Welcome to the In Touch podcast with Charles Stanley for Wednesday, July 17th. Today's study takes you back in time to about 450 BC, when Jerusalem was in ruins. But this is more than a history lesson. The story of Nehemiah challenges us to turn to God and trust Him to do the impossible.
Well, life presents all kind of problems, and sometimes we don't know how to respond. Sometimes we think, Lord, where are you in the midst of all of this? Why don't you do something? And sometimes we think, well, Lord, if you really and truly love me, you wouldn't let this happen. Or if you really and truly love me, you'd show me what to do at this point in my life. So sometimes we are perplexed. We don't know exactly what to do. But there is always one thing that is the right thing to do, every single solitary time. And that's what I want to talk about in this message. So I want you to turn, if you will, to the book of Nehemiah. Because here's what you're going to find in this book. That throughout the book of Nehemiah, every time he comes to a situation or a circumstance that is a problem or a threat, without fail, or if he's seeking guidance and direction, without fail, he is a man who lived on his knees. That is, he learned the awesome power of prayer. He learned the most miraculous things that God would be willing to do in him, through him, for him, and to him as a result of it. And so when we think about that, I think about the principle that is so evident here. And that is, we stand tallest and strongest on our knees. And I simply mean by that this: we make the greatest impact and we experience the greatest power and energy and strength to face whatever we have to face in life successfully. Because prayer is that choice tool that God has given us to reach Him, to speak to Him, to plead before Him, and to receive from Him. And I think one of these greatest blessings that God has given to us, we take for granted. Or, shall I say, we don't go about it in the right way. But somehow when you look at what happened in the life of Nehemiah, he knew how to talk to God. He knew how to approach God. And we see in this book the most awesome miracles that took place. What do you think Nehemiah must have thought when God said, Nehemiah, I'm sending you? Wait a minute, wait a minute. The first thing he must have thought was, well, who am I? How many times have we all asked, who am I? That's what Moses asked. What all of God's servants have asked, who am I? And God had to deal with him. And I'm sure he told the Lord all the reasons he couldn't go. The walls need to be built. Who's going to do that? I don't know how to do that. The gates are going to be rebuilt. And what about the massive confusion among these people? What about all their enemies? Listen, when God tells you to do something, remember this, He's not looking for information. He's not waiting to find out what to do. God already knows exactly what to do in every single situation you and I face, with no exception. He knows everything about us. He would never call you to do something you can't do through His power and His strength. He's the one who created you. He's the one who gave you abilities, talents, and skill. He gave you so much height. He gave you the body that you have. He gave you the mind that you have. Now, if some of you are wasting it, that's your fault. But He gave you a mind to begin with, to think, and to be able to think properly and clearly. And every single believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The fact that you and I, listen, are indwelt by the Holy Spirit means that we are indwelt by God's Spirit. Therefore, when God speaks to us, He's speaking to His Spirit within us. He knows us perfectly. And so think about how absurd this is. You mean, God, you're calling me to do that. Lord, there's no way I can do that. Is he in the mistake business? Is he making mistakes? Oh, would God have to say, oh, I thought you were so-and-so? No, He wouldn't say that. He knows exactly who we are. And listen, watch this carefully. You say, well, is it a sin to feel inadequate? No, it's not a sin to feel inadequate. Feeling inadequate is a part of doing what? Recognizing His awesome power, His holiness, our sinfulness, and being human beings, how inadequate we are to do some things that God may require of us. And so therefore, He knows you perfectly. You can't back off from God and start giving Him information of why you can't do something. Listen to this. If God called you to do something, you say, no, I can't do that. What you're implying is that God made a mistake. And you're implying that God doesn't know the situation. And you're implying that God just doesn't know you like you know yourself. You see, wouldn't you agree that that's totally absurd? He would never require of you something he would not enable you to do. That's why he sent the Holy Spirit. He told the disciples, he said, you sit down in Jerusalem and you wait here until you be endued with power from on high. That is, every single believer from Pentecost to this day, every single person who's trusted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior has been invaded by, indwelt by, empowered by, equipped by the Holy Spirit of God. So there's no such thing as a believer who cannot do what God calls them to do if they're willing to be obedient to Him. So this sense of inadequacy was a part of his feelings and of what he had to go through. But listen, and I love this. Why does God allow us to be inadequate? To drive us to Himself. The more inadequate we feel, what? The more we pray. And there's a blessing in being inadequate. Then I can come to Him and say, God, you know that I cannot do this without you. I must have access to your awesome power in my life if I'm going to do this. Why did he stand so tall? Why was he so strong? Why did they follow him? Why did the miraculous things happen? Because he was one man who'd been a cupbearer, a slave, so to speak, but in a good position. And now he's being sent to do something you think he couldn't do. But now watch this. Somebody says, well, I do feel inadequate. I do believe this is what God wants. Now here's the question. Do you think God would call you to do something and then just separate you from it? If you want your prayers answered, here's what happens. Not only must you acknowledge your inadequacy after your heart's cleaned up, but you must be willing to be available for God to use you to do it. You say, oh, no. Why not? You can't say that God won't help you do it. I'm not sure how many prayers God answers if I'm not willing to be an available part of getting the answer there. And so he had to deal with this. He had to deal with the whole idea of being available. Well, he heard all about it. And you know, somebody says, well, I can just pray. I'm not sure those prayers even reach anywhere close to the ceiling if I have withdrawn myself to say, I will pray and let them do it. I may not be able to do very many things in life. But the issue is this, am I willing to do whatever he requires of me? I may fail, I may make mistakes, and you know what? If you ever get to the place that you think you can't make any, or you won't do anything because you're afraid you will make some, you'll never do anything. It's a matter of making ourselves available. God, here I am, whatever there is of me that you can use, I'm offering myself. And let me ask you a question. Since he died on the cross and paid sin's debt, your sin debt for you, do you have a right to tell him what you will or will not do? Listen, he crucified his own son. He gave you the faith to believe in him and to trust him. He's forgiven you of your sins. He's written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He's equipped you with the Holy Spirit. He enabled you to live. He enabled you to see, enabled you to hear, enabled you to speak, enabled you to walk, make the limbs work and everything else. That is, you owe him everything. How could you ever say to him, no, I will not do it? If you'll think about it, it is totally absurd. You've got to be out in left field, not even thinking that you can tell holy, righteous, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, awesome God of what you will and what you will not do. And yet people say, yeah, but you don't know me. I don't have to know you. God knows you. And I would ask you this question again. Would God call you to do something that you cannot do in His strength and in His power? No, He would not. That would be out of keeping with who God is. And so Nehemiah had to come to the place. If that's what you want to do, God, I'm willing to do it. Now, it's interesting that every time Nehemiah got in a position to figure out something, he went to prayer to ask God to show him what to do and to show him how to do it. And every single time he did, what did God do? He did exactly what he required. And that is, whatever he needed to understand, God was there to show him. Now think about this. God loves every single one of us. Watch this. He loves every single one of us the same when it comes to being willing to show us what His will is for our life. And you know, I think about all of you college students out there who go into college spending your parents' hard-earned money. I want to put that in there. Hard-earned money, and you don't have the slightest idea of what you're going to do with your life. Listen, it is a sin against God that you have not sought His mind and His will and His way and His purpose and His plan for your life before you get to the fourth year and you're coming up to graduation, and what happens? You can't even get a job. Do you mean to tell me that you believe that God would supply all of that and not have anything in mind? That now you just go out there and find yourself a job. You say, well, I'm not talking about people who've lost their jobs. I'm talking about people who are in school and going to school and spending money and investing money and fighting for your faith oftentimes and coming down and never thinking. Listen, if you've been to some school counselor, forget it. You have the counselor. You have access to the counselor who created you, who knows how He's equipped you. He has gifted you to do certain things. He is more than willing to show you how to invest your life. The question is, are you willing to ask Him? He's a God who cares, who is willing to show you exactly what to do. When you kneel in prayer, remember this also. When you kneel in prayer, you and I have the privilege of experiencing, watch this, experiencing divine power. Holy Spirit power, enabling power. He doesn't give power like you and I would dish out pennies. Whatever you need, God will overflow in your life to enable you to do it. There's no such thing as a nobody. There's no such thing as a useless person. And I would say whoever you are, God has a place for you. If you will cry out to God, your God will hear and answer your prayer. Because He does not want you wasting time and influence and the impact that you can have. And so when I look to see what happened in Nehemiah's life, he felt all of these things, but also he experienced the power of God. Listen, he wants you to look at yourself in the light of who God sees you, the potential you have, what you can do, not in your own strength, but as we've said over and over and over again, in the power of the Spirit of God. We stand the tallest, and our influence is the greatest, and we experience the most power in our life and energy and strength to face any and every situation on our knees. That is the key. That is the source. That's the direction. That's God's plan, and there'll never be any plan better than that. Now, the question is, well, you say, well, what am I supposed to do about it? You're supposed to start by getting on your knees and asking God to forgive you, first of all, for forgetting that He is the Lord and Master and the Sovereign. And acknowledge that He's absolutely holy. Listen, when I think about all the things that Nehemiah accomplished, was it because of his education? No. What was it? It was because he had developed this relationship with the Father, that he would trust Him. But see, he had to keep his heart clean. Recognize his inadequacy, make himself available, and then to know that he could get God's vision in God's direction and that God would enable him by His Spirit to accomplish whatever He called him to do. If God said to you today, I will enable you to do whatever you want to do in life, what would that be? If He just gave you a choice, what would it be? To some degree, we have a choice, not totally, but we have a choice to some degree. But if you could do anything in the world from this point on in your life, if you could do anything in the world you wanted to do, what would you do? If you could be anything in the world you wanted to be, what would you be? If you answer those two questions, you tell a whole lot about yourself. Well, you know, you don't have to answer that question because God knows all about it. The issue is this. Think about it. You have this awesome privilege as a child of God to get on your knees before Him and talk to the sovereign ruler and creator of this entire universe, who will never make a mistake, who will never mislead you, never misinform you, and never fail you. You have that privilege. Now the question is this: what are you willing to do? Are you willing to say to Him, "Lord, I don't feel very adequate, but I'll do whatever You tell me to do. Lord, I realize I don't have the education some people have. I don't have the experience. And some people are so gifted, God, they can take their hands and build this, do that. I don't have any of that, Lord, but I'm willing to do whatever You want me to do. Don't think I'd be very good at teaching someone else. But Lord, I'm willing to do whatever You want me to do." Let me ask you a question. Do you have the right to withhold yourself from sovereign God of this universe, who created you and has committed Himself to live in you for all eternity and enable you to face every single circumstance confidently? Do you have a right to withhold yourself from Him? Well, let me just put it this way. Having listened to this message and heard the truth, just been telling you what God says, you're going to have to deal with it. Some of you are very gifted and talented and skilled, but you never thought about serving God. You just think about, well, I'll do whatever I can do in life. You need to ask Him to show you. He has an investment in you. You know what the biggest investment He has in you? Look at the cross. That's His greatest investment. He sent His Son Jesus to the cross to die for your sins and mine, to make it possible for us to have our sins forgiven and to have a personal, intimate relationship with this awesome God. And not only that, but to be indwelt by His Spirit and then to be used by God. Do you have a right to withhold yourself from Him? No. Then my question is, what are you going to do about it? Oh, I'll think about it. No. You've got to do more than think about it, because you know what happens? You and I are responsible for what we hear. We're responsible for what we hear and how we respond to it. Whoever you are, you can never tell God, "But God, I didn't know." You know His beginning right now. You know that Christ died for you. You know that you can be saved from all of your sins. You know that when you are, He'll live inside of you and enable you to face every circumstance in life. He will use you to bring Him glory and honor. You can never say, "I never heard and I didn't know that." And I'm simply saying to you, we're responsible for the truth that we hear. And today, here's what you've heard, simple truth. God is sovereign. He's the creator of all things. You are here in existence by His grace and good kindness toward you. And not only that, He is this awesome God who loves you unconditionally and who wants and desires to use you and who knows what you're able to do, what you're equipped to do. He knows everything there is about you, and He loves you, and He's willing to take you right where you are, forgive you, cleanse you, indwell you by the Holy Spirit, and then use you in the most awesome fashion if you let Him do it.
Thank you for listening to part two of Standing Tall and Strong Through Prayer. If you'd like to know more about Charles Stanley or In Touch Ministries, stop by intouch.org. This podcast is a presentation of In Touch Ministries, Atlanta, Georgia.